And just pick up on things that Greg and Jason both shared in Colossians chapter 1. It talks there about 1:21. Paul says to the Colossians, he says, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. There's a few really critical things in here that for me capture what a lot has been kind of in my mind lately. And Jason talked about the refiner's fire, and that's something that I've been thinking about lately. It feels like there's been many trials and tests lately. There's many natural things that are happening around us that they're trying. It's trying times, for sure. And in the midst of that, it's easy to get frustrated, to grumble, to complain, all of those things. And yet I'm reminded, like, God is in control. He's allowing these circumstances and these times for a specific purpose. And I was thinking, what is that purpose for us as believers? It says right here, his primary purpose in our lives is he's come to sanctify a bride, to prepare us that we would be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And that is the purpose of the refining fire that Jason talked about briefly. And that's the passage that's been in my mind this week. It's Proverbs 17, verse 3. It talks about that. The furnace for gold and the crucible for silver. But the Lord tests hearts. And then I was thinking about this and thinking about what is when going through great tests, what is critical? And this, what does it say next? If indeed you continue in the faith. When we're going through trying times and the furnace feels hotter than normal, it tests our faith. And we need to be actively seeking to build our faith. That's why we need to be getting into the Word. That's why we get fellowship. We need to be building our faith. Jason asked me before if I was going to talk about running. I said, no, but I will, because it's what I do every time I've run a race the day before I share. And what continues to astound me, Joel and I had a chance to run a race yesterday, and they're a little bit longer runs that we're doing. And the part, and I've shared this before, but it continues to just, I would have never imagined how important it is what you eat and drink when you're running these races. And I saw it yesterday at the end of the race. The last 10 kilometers is an incredible climb. It's the hill that never ends, it feels like. And you're already quite a ways into this, and so you start cramping because your body is now lacking a bunch of things that it needs. And I was interesting. I was running with two guys at that point. I wasn't running. We weren't running. We were slogging up this hill. And the one guy said, I've run out of these tablets. And I offered him a tablet. I said, you can have one of mine. I got one left. I'm so glad he didn't take it because I desperately ended up needing it. But these guys really weren't actually doing a lot. And I was just pulling stuff out of my little vest and eating and drinking everything I could find that had salt in it. I was just plowing it all back. And in the end, these guys ended up finishing a ways behind me. And I kind of know what happened is they just ended up, like, it's just, they're not eating and drinking the right things. How much more in our walk with the Lord, when we hit this hill that never feels like it's going to die, it kind of feels like that right now. Everybody's just like, when will all of this just stop? And I can just go back to my normal life and I don't have to think about all these things anymore. You know what? God is working for a purpose. And we don't need to be anxious. That's the one thing. And I don't want to be anxious in the midst of these times. Whatever it is, maybe it's some other test trial you're going through. It's like, Lord, I don't want to be anxious. But in the midst of that, we need to be feeding. If we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things that are above. We need to be building our faith so that in the midst of this, we don't cramp up, so to speak. We don't start to lose heart. We don't become discouraged. We don't become like we read about in 1 Corinthians 10, where they grumbled and they complained and did all these things. We need to be continuing to build our faith in the midst of this. And the last thing is that it says here is, where is our hope? It says, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. It says right after this, it says, the mystery of the gospel is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Paul warns the Romans, and in other places we have warnings. Who hopes in what they can see? Lord, I just hope all of this stuff that's going on will just stop. It'll just go away. That's true. I do kind of look forward to that. But I can't set my true hope in that, because that ultimately could be a hope that disappoints, or anything else. I just hope whatever. Think of a natural thing. Maybe there's something in your mind. We can't set our hope in natural things. Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ. And this hope of being changed, to be made holy and blameless. And these things are tests for us. Lord, is that where my hope is? Is that where it is? I read this psalm, and I just want to, this is what I was actually going to share, but as Greg and Jason were sharing this passage in Colossians came to my mind, just turn quickly to Psalm 66, and then we are going to move on to communion. In this psalm, it starts off praising the Lord. Verse 1, shout joyfully to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how marvelous are your works. And it's almost like as you continue reading, the author of this psalm is reminding us, reminding themselves of all that God has done. And I think that's a great way of building our faith, right? It says, say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. I could take that and say, just reminding myself of all that God has done. And it is to build my faith so that in the midst of tests and trials, I can be reminded of, man, how good is my God and all the things that he's done for me. And he will not fail me now in the midst of tests and trials. And then he can come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men, it says in verse 5. So you see all of this praising the Lord, but it's interesting, all of this, you can say, oh, well, maybe the brother was just in a good place. Things were going well for him, and oh, it's easy to praise the Lord when things are going well. But then you get to verse 9. It says, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you tried us, O God, you have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You've made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you brought us into a place of abundance. So it's not a circumstance, I don't think, where this person, oh, this person just had a life of ease. So sure, it was easy to praise the Lord. I believe they were choosing to praise the Lord. And it was also to probably build their own faith. Because God was allowing difficult circumstances. But the critical part of this, in verse 12, at the end, it says, you've brought us out into a place of abundance. What would that look like right now for you? If God, just think, what would a place of abundance look like? It's easy to think natural, right? Like, and think about a natural thing. I just wish a bunch of circumstances would stop. But I was thinking about this, and Jesus said in John 10, he says, I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. And when I thought about an abundant life this morning, I go back to Galatians chapter 5. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, if I could live my life experiencing that kind of fruit every day, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I have to think that is the abundant life, irrespective of anything else going on around me. Lord, that's what I desire. And I believe in my heart that is what God wants. Irrespective, we have brothers and sisters in China and different places, Afghanistan, all these places. I mean, they have lived without spiritual freedom, freedom to worship the Lord, incredible persecution. And yet, in my heart, I fully believe there are brothers and sisters living there a very abundant life. And it has nothing to do with their natural circumstances. That abundant life is because of their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where it is. And so let's keep our focus and our hope in that. Lord, as I go through trials and I go through tests and I'm being refined, Lord, I know you have called me not necessarily to a life of ease. I mean, God is a good father and he helps us in natural ways and he blesses us in natural ways perhaps. But ultimately what he cares about is a pure and spotless bride and to give us an abundant life. And that abundant life can be to those who have little or to those who have much. The natural circumstances don't matter. But what he wants us to know is love, joy, peace, patience. He wants us to know the fruit of his Spirit. And so if that's the case, the last thing I would close with as we go down in verse 16, he says, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth and was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. You know, it's easy for us to think, okay, that is what I desire. I desire love, joy, peace. We can't forget what the rest of Galatians 5 says, right? It says, if we are sowing to the flesh, if we are setting our mind on earthly things, and we are giving in to temptation, and we are living for the flesh, then we will experience the fruit of the flesh, right? But if we desire this abundant life, and we desire to say, Lord, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tests, I want to overcome, I want to experience the abundant life, irrespective of what's going on around us, then we need to be living according to the Spirit, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. It says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, if I give in to temptation, temptation comes and I'm feeding the flesh, then God, it does say that in Isaiah 58, he says, my hand is not too short and my ear is not too heavy that I cannot hear, but it's your sin has separated you. That's why I'm not hearing. That's why you're not experiencing the abundant life. So let's be diligent to continue to seek him, to set our mind on things above. If we're living for the flesh now, if we're not experiencing that abundant life of love, joy, peace, patience, let's go back to Galatians 5 and say, Lord, is there ways that perhaps I'm not living by the Spirit? I'm actually feeding the flesh. And in the midst of all of this, then let's repent of that, obviously, and turn. But in the midst of all of this as well, let us continue to press on and build our faith through his word and through fellowship. You know, yesterday when we were running, I've actually never had this before, but at the beginning of the race, we were 7 kilometers in or something. I bailed. I've never done this. And it really hurt. I cut up my knees. And you get this shot of adrenaline when you do this, and you feel really gross. Like, I just nauseous. So I just had to walk off. I just kept walking. You're in a race. You don't stop necessarily in a race, right? It was a great picture for me. I walked off the path and I just let some people go by and I just sort of kept walking on the trail. And it says, you know, when we're running this race, it's the last thing I would share too, is if we stumble, it says, though the righteous stumble, it says in Proverbs 24, 7 times they get back up. And this is where our faith is tested. Maybe you've been through the refining fire and you feel like, you know what, I failed. In the refining fire, I failed. This is where we need our faith, to rise again. Though the righteous stumble. In this race yesterday, in my mind, like, quitting is like a fear to me. I'm like, this is the way I guess maybe I'm wired. I'm like, no, I want to finish. I've trained hard. I want to finish this thing. So you get back up, and thankfully after 5-10 minutes, this gross feeling of the adrenaline goes away, and you keep running, and you keep going. I was like, man, how much more in this spiritual journey that we would, and you know what? How many people stopped in this natural race? I made some weird grunts. I was like, wow, that sounded strange as I'm hitting the deck. You know, and I was like, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to stop. And they all just kept trucking along, right? But you know what? Let's be there as we see a brother or sister perhaps struggling to come alongside. Let us continue to press on in this faith, this journey of faith, this race of faith. continue to press on. Jesus Christ has an abundant life for us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our circumstances. I want to just encourage you with that this morning. We can build our faith through spending time with him. If that's slipped in your life, of that discipline of just getting alone with Jesus, ask him to help you to get back to spending that disciplined time with Jesus and making fellowship a priority in your life. I encourage you with that.